Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
All right, we're joined now by a man that needs no introduction to Georgia Southern fans or college football fans. Mr. Tracy Hamm is going to join us to discuss Georgia Southern season to date and heading into the bowl game. We will talk about Georgia Southern and what they've done in 2019, what he expects to see in Orlando, and then we'll talk specifically about quarterback Shai Wirtz, because who knows more about Georgia Southern and playing quarterback at Georgia Southern than Mr. Tracy Hamm. So, Mr. Hamm, thank you for joining us.
Hey, Travis, it's good to be with you guys.
So, I guess for you being, you know, having obviously a unique perspective on the program, how have you seen this season kind of progress? Obviously, there's been a little bit of everything. What have you seen from Georgia Southern, from the players, from the coaches, and the program as a whole this season?
Well, I thought this year was a very good year, that they showed a lot of resilience. They were very resilient throughout the year. Just a tough year. We went 10-2 the previous year. I didn't think we had built that base to be a continuous 10-2 team, but I think we was headed that way. I felt like going into the season, if we can win eight ball games, if we get to 9-10, that means we've upset some people along the way. We had a really good opportunity up in Minnesota to steal one with JT, the backup quarterback, being in the ball game. And then I thought we got a really big one up at App, obviously. But, you know, all in all, games that I don't think people gave us much of an opportunity. It was surprising on both ends. I don't think anybody thought that we would hang in with Minnesota. Then I don't think anybody thought we would win at App. And then I thought we won some really close ball. Anytime you win overtime ball game, that means your team's really locked in. They're well-conditioned. And I thought it was just a fantastic year, considering all the obstacles that we had to and the team, the coaching staff had to get over this year. Obviously, with one of our players passing, that was tough on everybody, our whole Eagle Nation. And then I thought he kept them in the middle of the road. They didn't get too far one way or the other. I thought they rebounded well and played. Just couldn't really get no breaks from the weather. We played in, what, 3-4 weather games? And all of them, multiple ones, were at home. Man, when you assess this season, you take your hat off to Chad and the football staff and the players and how they were able to maintain their composure through a lot of adversity. And then, Travis, as you know, that's what makes good football teams, make solid foundations to build your program on. I think they're looking forward to signing day to continue to add to the program, add some quality players to the program, and just really, really start building the foundation to get back to a consistent. If you're going to be a consistent 10-2, you know, get an opportunity to be one of the next five to get in that game. App State's been teetering with that, you know, and we've beaten App both times. They've been sitting at that pivotal point in their season. So we definitely have the capabilities. I think, you know, sometimes the ball bounces your way, sometimes it does not. Didn't think we played particularly well at Troy. So that was the kicker we had to – I thought that's the one that we really had to have. Obviously, now you can say that, but I thought that we never got ourselves going offense and defensively at the same time, and that's always tough on you. But they, you know, they were a good group. I'm proud of them. I thought they hung in there, and we look for them to finish it off down at the Cure Bowl in Orlando.
And Mr. Hamm, I'm curious to know what you think about this. You know, a lot of the media members, we kind of discuss one team compared to another as far as Georgia Southern teams go, and the 2018 team obviously had to go through its own set of you know, hardships and its own kind of unique circumstances. This year, this team has gone through, obviously, a bunch of stuff on the field and off the field. Have you seen kind of a difference in, you know, not better or worse, but just different character traits, different traits for this football team as opposed to last season? It seems like at least the personalities on the team are a little different than last year, and kind of, you know, that would make sense with different guys. But I guess I'm curious to know what you think the biggest differences are, with this team and last year's team, the first year for Coach Lunsford?
Well, I think last year's team, there were no expectations. It was like, look, we just come off of 2-10 season. How about we just get the ship going in the right direction?
Right.
And then all of a sudden they caught themselves playing really good football. They started trusting each other again. They really enjoyed playing with each other again. The coaches, you know, was enjoying coaching them. Everybody really got on the same page. And I think when you get a team that gets on a roll like they did in 2018, you just let them be themselves, right? They had been really down. You know, they really had lacked a lot of self-esteem about how they played the game. Not talking personal, I'm not talking personal, but I'm just talking about as a team. When you said we just like anything bad that went wrong, we just went, oh, no, here we go again. And so we kind of lost ourselves in within mistakes. And so once they started playing good football, I thought Coach Lunsford did a very good job of letting them just be themselves. Now, coming in this year, you had expectations, right? Your quarterback coming back. You had a solid defense the previous year. Led, you know, was in the tops in turnover, giveaway-takeaway ratio. Just really had expectations. And then, you know, you start going into games and people have an expectation, so your mindset changed. And each year you really have to write your own book, or your own chapter of that book. I mean, each team over the years of Georgia Southern program, we've never been able to compare one team to the next, because each year you have to put away that season and move to the next one. New players, new position, new expectations. And so I saw that they managed themselves quite well during this transition of getting us back to playing Georgia Southern football. I know our fans wanted us to be a 10-2 team this year, but I just felt like looking at our team, just watching us mature, we was going to take some effort from certain players to really grow up. They're still growing up. And so to get themselves, to fight themselves in a bowl game, having a pivotal win up at App State, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of them. I think our fan base should be really excited about the direction our program is headed in. And even in spite of playing in bad weather, I mean, we had literally rain every game we played, except the last one here in Georgia Southern, it rained. And so they were able to fight through whatever adversity. And that's a mark of a good coaching staff, kids understanding what their job is. I thought it was a remarkable season to set us in this bowl game. And we had a chance to have a super season. And so that's what it's going to come down to us, I think. If we can stay in this position each year where it comes down to, you know, winning one or two ball games, and those ball games are won in one or two ball game possessions. If you look at how many games we won it being a one possession ball game. Yeah. So those are characteristics that I think we're trending in the right direction. We got to continue to keep our kids pressing towards, you know, the excellent mark of being a very consistent ball club year in and year out.
For you, have you seen a development in the depth and the kinds of players that Coach Lunsford is bringing in? I know last year when you and I talked, you talked about how it's going to take a little bit of time for Lunsford and DeBess and Sloan and the whole staff to kind of build the team to look how they, you know, they're going to play however they're going to play, but to look and you know, to act and play kind of how they want them to. Have you seen Georgia Southern start to kind of get closer to where they want to be in terms of personnel, in terms of the kinds of players they're getting?
Well, I think they're getting, you know, we went deep into the depth chart this year. If you look at our injuries, you know, shy in the early part of the season. So you've seen the depth stay relatively consistent, you know, over the past couple of years. He's been able to recruit some quality kids to be able to step in and play with there. We probably wanted them to, you know, wait another year, but you have to put them in there. I think we have continued to grow the depth of the team. I mean, the next man up slogan is a real slogan, man. You have to have your next guy ready to play. And I think Coach Lunsford and both coordinators have done a good job of having kids ready to play. You know, you look at the App State game, we got people banged up. People stepped in. Minnesota, the same thing. So we've had our depth is being really, you know, we're getting quality kids now, and so you're going to have to play them. Sometimes they're younger than you want to play them, but they've been to fit into the system. I think the best has gotten, you know, the more I think his system opened up as we continue to open up his playbook. I think he'll continue as much as the kids can handle. I think he'll give it to them. And a lot depends on, you know, What are we playing with, second or third teamers? And you have to kind of pull your play calling back because you got kids who have not played a significant amount of time. So sometimes you have to reduce the playbook for the offensive line or for whoever, right? You know, JD hadn't been there long. We thought he wasn't going to play, and then all of a sudden he's ready to play, get cleared by the NCAA. And then, you know, he's not we don't have the open playbook for him yet because he just has not had a chance to. And so there's a lot of things that go into it. Same thing on defense. I think defense has been a little different because he's made it really simple for him, and they just fly to the football. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we really love about our defense. They run to the football. They take pride in running to the football, and they've come up with some big plays for us this year.
All right, Mr. Hamm, just a couple more for you. Is it hard sometimes as – you know, you personally and then alumni, I know you're in touch with a lot of the former players, you know, just from being around the program. Is it hard not to kind of think ahead to 2020 with all the talent coming back? You know, I know the players and the team, we want them focused on the bowl game. But as alumni and as fans, is it as hard for you guys not to think about 2020 as it is for me? Because, I got to pinch myself sometimes looking at all the talent Georgia Southern has coming back next year.
Well, we're going to be deep, and we're going to have to continue to grow our young kids. But if I'm on the defensive side, I'm not too excited about it leaving because we're losing three of our just top defensive backs. When you look at losing the three we're going to lose back there, Vildor, Man-Man, we're going to lose also
Liptrot.
Yeah, Liptrot. So, you know. Losing all three of those guys will have a chance to be in somebody's camp next year. So we definitely don't want to close the chapter on the book too soon. We really winning bowl games are important for your program. I think sometimes because we see the bigger programs take the bowl game lightly. You know, you'll take people who sit out bowl games getting ready to play at the next level. Well, at the next five level, these bowl games are important to us, and it's important that we finish the season off on a high note. These kids know how important these bowl games are to us, and leaving here with a ring. I mean, our slogan is rings and diplomas and leaders. And so this is a part of our slogan, you know, getting rings, and I think they're in a position to do that. So I don't think we can look ahead too soon. I think we're putting it together. I think Coach Lumpf and them are putting a good product on the field, and they just continue to grow them. I think we just take it one step at a time, and that's how you get yourself back into the conversation with the elite programs.
All right, Mr. Hamm, we'll close with this. I wanted to kind of leave this one open-ended for you. Shai Wirtz, we talk about him almost, you know, every week on this podcast, and I'm sure anyone, you know, discussing Georgia Southern football has to address Shai Wirtz pretty early on. How have you seen Shai bounce back from a rough offseason, a peculiar offseason, no way around that, and then an early injury at LSU. Last year we saw him, and I know you were impressed with the way he took strides from his freshman year to his sophomore year. This year has been kind of a different animal. Still, you know, really good numbers for Shai. What have you seen out of him, you know, on the football field and then maybe in the locker room or in the huddle or kind of how he carries himself? Did you see another step forward for Shai Wirtz this year?
Oh, for certainly, Shai is taking steps in the right direction for leadership on and off the field. I thought you're right. It was for Kim. There's really no stepping around how the season started. He was able to brush through that, work through that. But I think the biggest thing was the injury. When you get injured early in the season and you have to sit out three, come back on your fourth ball game, came back on the ball game against Lafayette, was it?
Yeah.
Louisiana Lafayette. He come back on a really tough ball. Really tough ball club to play. And I thought that it took him a little time to get in stride, but, you know, just think about it. Now, he managed himself through overtime at Mobile, down in Mobile. He managed himself with triple overtime here. It just, his ability to maintain his composure in close ball games, I think that's always the attribute of a solid quarterback who understands you know, where he at as a young man and as a quarterback. He really did a good job. I think people don't place enough value on winning one possession ball games. They look at, when you look at the entirety, winning one possession ball games, you really have to be locked in. You have to be physically and mentally conditioned to stay the course. And I think I think Shy's staying the course. I think coming this year, I think next year you'll see, you know, sometimes they call it the sophomore blues, but I think that's natural. You go through some adversity, it only makes you better. I think he's been better through what he's gone through, and I think the best of Shy is yet to come.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mr. Ham. Okay, well, look, we appreciate you joining us. I know you're a busy man, a popular man, so, and you know, I personally respect your opinion on Georgia Southern football more than just about anybody else. So, truly, thank you, Mr. Ham, for joining us, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, too. Enjoy.
All right, Georgia Southern fans, we have a new offer for you guys at SavannahNow.com. We want you guys to check it out. It's a newsletter focused on Georgia Southern athletics and Georgia Southern athletics only. This is a free opportunity for you guys to get caught up on all the latest news on the Eagles, whether it be on the football field, basketball court, baseball field, or what have you. But go join the mailing list for the newsletter. And this is how you do it. Go to SavannahNow.com and look on the right side of the homepage. Click Get Our Newsletters and go from there. The newsletter will have a blog post once a week, as well as other relevant Georgia Southern stories, opportunities to subscribe to the podcast, and other insider notes that you can't find anywhere else. Subscribe today. All right, we're joined now by Justin Judy of 247 Sports. Busy time for JJ as the recruiting has picked up. You know, the early signing period obviously changes a bunch of different things, but we appreciate Justin Judy joining us because this is definitely a busy time of year for him. Justin, thanks for taking a few moments, man.
No worries, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yep. So as we record this on Sunday evening, just over 72 hours now until early signing period. I guess I'll just leave this one open-ended. Can you catch us up on the latest for Georgia Southern? I know a bunch has kind of gone down in the last 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Southern, you know, right now has, you know, 11 known commitments. That doesn't mean there's not some guys out there that maybe Georgia Southern has got good news on that, you know, maybe not made public, anything like that. So, you know, take that for what you will. I mean, usually every school in America has a few guys they feel good about, even though they're 247 list doesn't necessarily say it right now. But yeah, we know they've got 11 confirmed guys on the board. They had 9 official visitors this weekend. Some of those were committed guys, kind of a mixed bag. They had a couple of JUCO guys in there from Northwest Mississippi Community College. So a mixed bag there of guys commits versus, you know, targets that they're going after. Really trying to hone in on what they're going to do. You know, I mean, you can sign up to 25 players. They're at 11 right now. They feel good about a few. You know, if you theoretically sign most of your targets and you're 11, then you still got some room. No doubt there. I don't think they've got, you know, 14 guys out there that they can sign on Wednesday outside their 11. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with the numbers. You look at 247 team rankings. Or about midweek last week, they were rolling number 7 in the Sun Belt. They've dipped down to last place right now, and that's simply because other schools have gotten some commitments to bump them up ahead of Georgia Southern. But that's always a tug of war that can be won, you know, on signing day from Wednesday to Friday to where Georgia Southern can leapfrog them back.
All right. So what I guess for you, in your opinion, what is left on the table for Georgia Southern realistically? I know Marcus Carroll is a big name, a running back out of the Atlanta area. And then you touched on the transfers. It seems like maybe Jacksonville might produce a couple of future Eagles. So I guess for you, what are the two biggest, or not the two, you know, what are the biggest things left on the table for Georgia Southern between Sunday as we record this and Wednesday when the signing period begins?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Logan Langmeyer was a offensive lineman at Jacksonville, and he was up on a visit this weekend and talking to some folks. He had a really good visit. I'm not sure what other options he has right now. I mean, it's kind of down to the nitty-gritty with that. So I think Georgia Southern would be positioned well on that one. For the time and sake, I think it worked out for Georgia Southern to get him the last weekend before – signing day, and that's a big weekend. If you can get them here and you leave that last impression, that's a huge deal. Sam Randolph, a defensive back out of Heritage, you know, again, talking to some folks, George Southern seemed to set up pretty good on that one. He's not a junior college player, but he's up in Ringgold, Georgia. Seemed to be going pretty heavy on defensive backs, but, you know, you can always maybe turn them into slot receivers if they don't work out, or some return guys. You know, as far as other folks that were on campus, Braylon Peterson was there, Jalen Jackson, these are all commits, Jordan Bennett, and Jaylon Howard out of Madison, Florida, talented cornerback, defensive back for the Eagles. You know, Quentin Wilfon, he's a linebacker out of Northwest Mississippi Community College. Him and his teammate, Ashton Jest, he's a center. We're on campus this weekend. We'll see where the numbers play out for Georgia Southern on those two. That's just going to kind of be a thing on if Georgia Southern, you know, obviously they brought him in for visits, but do they press on with them? It looks like they need some bodies on offensive line. You don't want to go without signing any offensive linemen. You really don't want to go with just signing one. So Georgia Southern probably needs to pick up some bodies there. So fascinating to watch what they do, you know, with the offensive line room. And then, you know, touching on some targets that we're not on campus but are very much in the mix, you know, when Marcus Carroll out of Hatfield Charter in Atlanta, running back, he was a decommitment from Coastal Carolina a few weeks back. Georgia State's heavily involved there, as is Georgia Southern. Rashad Dinsmore, athlete out of Alabama, Georgia Southern's been on for the long haul with this guy. He's got some Nebraska-type interest, but is he a take there? I'm not sure, but, he's going to be one to watch down the stretch. Rasheed Miller, offensive lineman from Lake Wells, Florida. He is currently committed to Western Kentucky, but I think distance might be playing a factor there. He's a big offensive lineman Georgia Southern could definitely use. And then Sam Kernison, athlete out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Georgia Southern stopped in and saw him pretty much every chance they could get. They really think he's an athletic guy that could help them in multiple ways. He was committed to South Alabama, went on a visit to Georgia Southern, since backed off that commitment. So I think George Southern's trending in the right direction there as well.
This kind of Kenderson reminded me of this. On Wednesday, the guys that have not committed yet, out of those guys you kind of just rattled off, are we expecting a lot of those decisions to come on Wednesday for guys like Kenderson, or could this last through February's traditional signing day?
No, I'd love to tell you I knew the answer to that, but every time if I guessed on that, I'd probably be wrong. Yeah. Because simply put, we don't know what's fixing to happen with other boards. And this is a big 72 hours across the country. I can remember, and I keep always pointing this out every time I talk to someone about recruiting, is Tay Crowder at Georgia. I remember Georgia Southern showing in a great spot, and then, 8 hours later, everything changed. He was a Bulldog. So, it feels like these guys, I mean, Georgia Southern's obviously going to try to get the guys they want to go ahead and knock it out, Wednesday, at worst Friday, and say, look, if you want your moment in the sun on a Friday, if that's more important than Wednesday, fine, but get it done. And this, so they don't have to babysit. If you have to go into February, all bets are off. And it's why I said the early signing period does help the group of five schools. But it also puts the power five schools in some kind of precarious situations on, do they want to string guys along that, they've got committed, by maybe saying, no, go ahead and we'll sign you in February or whatnot, go look at your options, and then possibly not be able to get those guys. So it kind of works in both ways, but I definitely think it helps the group of five, just because of the fact that you can go ahead and get your Sean Pelkisons, your Tyler Brides that have been there for the longest, in the boat. And then the guys like Sam Kernison, I don't know who's blowing his phone up at this hour. If it goes down to what it's been the last few weeks, then I think, he's probably going to do something midweek. And I'm definitely going to try to nail that down and see if I can get something out of him. But a lot of these guys, leading up to the signing thing, even if they're not going to do it, they might go ahead and shut it down just because they're not sure. So you see a lot of these kids around the country right now, they're putting out tweets that they've shut their commitment down, or they've shut their recruiting down, they're committed and all that. But until, you really sign on the dotted line, it's really never over.
Yeah, I can tell you, I could go my entire life without seeing another tweet that starts with humbled and blessed, or blessed and humbled too. I've gotten to the point now where I just search on Twitter, humbled to receive, and then Georgia Southern. And that's all I type in, and usually they all pop up. Justin, of the current commits for Georgia Southern, is anyone that you're potentially concerned about? I know you talked about Rasheed Miller, the offensive lineman, committed to Western Kentucky. He may be wavering. Is there anybody like that in Georgia Southern's current crop of commits that Georgia Southern fans should be monitoring?
You know, Jordan Mitchell might be in that category just because I know he is getting phone calls. He was committed to Maryland at one point. He's probably hearing from some schools like Maryland, probably trying to get back in the mix, possibly Georgia Tech. He's up in the Sandy Creek, Tyrone, Georgia area. But honestly, a lot of these guys, the main thing you can do in the line of, work I do and how I follow this stuff is I follow the visits. And if these guys aren't taking visits, then it really, unless they're going to go sight unseen, unless the hometown big Power Five school comes calling, usually if they don't visit anywhere, it's hard for me to imagine them going somewhere else because comfort level, it does play a factor in this. Relationships are what everything's built on. So the fact that Sean Tolkison has not gone anywhere, the fact that Tyler Bride hasn't gone anywhere, Justin Harris out of Peach County, I think they're okay right now. I mean, Shaylen Howard was one I probably would have pegged 3-4 months ago to kind of watch for because I kind of felt like he would probably get, some other schools come calling. And, I just think it goes to show you how many good players there are. And I think the parity in college football is evening out a lot because these guys probably, 4 or 5 years ago, probably some of these guys don't end up on Georgia Southern's commitment list. And it's a tribute to the staff and the type of players that are in Georgia Southern's program and their fans and everything, just to the quality of the guys they're getting. Because, they've got some star power in its commitment list. It's just it's only 11 guys. And most of these other schools that are beating them right now in the rankings have, 15 plus to upward to 20. So that's you're not going to beat those guys right now. But if Georgia Southern can add some pieces to the mix, then they'll be firmly in that, middle of the Sun Belt rankings.
All right, Justin, I don't want to keep you much longer, but I have about 1,000 more questions. So what I'll do is I'll pick the most important three and just go pretty quick on them. Two positions that I thought Georgia Southern would focus on this class, and it hasn't really been the case. Obviously, still time left. Why is it taking so long for Georgia Southern to begin targeting or at least landing on some of these offensive linemen and then quarterbacks, too? When Jaden Jenkins left, I know it's not pressing the fourth-string quarterback, but you'd think you'd want to balance out the classes and try to at least add one quarterback here. And then offensive line, we've heard all year about the lack of depth there, so I figured, putting two and two together, they would increase the depth there by signing guys along the line. Is there any particular reason you see that maybe those two positions haven't been focused on as much as maybe I thought they were going to be or some people thought they were going to be?
No, not really. I mean, they signed a good crop of offensive linemen last year that they feel pretty good about, but you can't go a year without signing multiple offensive linemen. There's just too many risks there. I mean, first of all, it could possibly be the number one position in football. If you don't protect your quarterback, you don't really have much. There's the transfer portal out there that guys can just get disgruntled and leave you in a numbers bind. There's injuries that happen in football, all this stuff. So, I think that's why, here's the deal. There's going to be some JUCO guys out there in January for the February signing period. Ideally, they probably would have liked to have a few more, but they couldn't really decide on anybody or just couldn't get them for whatever reason and hold some numbers back. And then you can plug some holes. As far as, quarterback, I think Rashad Dinsmore could possibly be that guy, that athlete. Sam Kearns, and I'm fascinated to see what they want to do with him. I think they're, obviously high on Justin Tomlin and his potential. But, they could probably use another body in that quarterback room, and somebody might pop up. I mean, that's kind of the beauty of Georgia Southern holding some spots, if there is a silver lining, is when these Power Fives fill up potentially and then they can't sign anybody in January, you end up looking like the nicest pick out of the litter, in a way, because you're there. So, you kind of lose competition in January. So, and some of these kids can't sign in December or won't be signing to wherever they might want to go simply because of maybe academic risk. Sometimes that's a little more clear in January than it is in December. Schools don't want to take you in December, they pass on you, and then they can't sign you in January. That might be a potential spot for Georgia Southern or someone like that, Appalachian State, to pick you up.
All right, Justin, last one for you. Georgia Southern has always been good in the Savannah area and kind of the Low Country area. For whatever reason, there haven't been those guys coming out of Savannah enrolling at Georgia Southern the last two classes. You know, is there any particular reason for that, or you know, have you seen Georgia Southern focus on you know, Florida and South Carolina a little more than they used to, or you know, has the strategy changed, or has it just been kind of random where the prospects are coming from?
I think, you know, that sometimes that's a little, to me, a little overhyped in a way. I mean, look, they wanted Chris Harris's brother, Jakeen Harris, that went to NC State. You know, obviously, they were going to do everything in their power not to lose Wesley Kennedy, and they didn't. Chris Harris is another one they wanted really bad, and they got. So, you know, I think they do their due diligence in Savannah just like anywhere else. You know, and if you're a player, they're going to go after you. Problem is that Savannah quarter area is, you know, it's part of their footprint with Jacksonville and all the way up into the Carolinas, but everybody's starting to learn the talent that's in Savannah. So they're not fooling anybody going in there and saying, hey, you know, we want you and we're the hometown school. I mean, yeah, that's great, but there's a lot of teams coming into Savannah. So I think it's a combination of, you know, maybe they're not able to get on some guys that they might want, such as Harris's brother, but then also that they are branching out their footprint, because going into the Tallahassee area where they got Jalen Howard and Madison, that's uncharted territory for them. So they're kind of branching their footprint a little bit to go after the best guys they can, no matter where they're at.
Awesome, Justin. How can everyone follow your stuff next few days? Very important if they want to be kept up on recruiting.
Sure, yeah. On Twitter, JustinJudy247 or ESI247, and EaglesportsInsider.com is the website. It's EaglesportsInsider.com, and we're throwing stuff out today all through, you know, to early signing period on, you know, who, what, when, and where, and trying to keep Eagle Nation up there.
Awesome, Justin. Keep grinding, and we'll be praying for you, man. Not long now.
Appreciate it, bud.
Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's